VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Some comments about the weekend before we get into our topic, our major topic for today. And that is some comments on the mass shootings. It was first on Saturday and then on Sunday, the horrible news unfolded, these mass shootings. First in El Paso, then in Dayton, the lives of many were taken. Additional were added to the death toll even today in El Paso. This morning, after additional fell victim to the severity of their wounds inflicted by this mass murder, such a clear reminder, as the prophet Jeremiah wrote, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We also saw a vivid reminder of 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Indeed, we've seen some very wicked acts this weekend, and ladies and gentlemen, we continue to kick God out of our schools and city council meetings. We do everything we can to keep the Ten Commandments from being posted, one of which says, thou shalt not kill, meaning thou shalt do no murder. And for some reason, our society continues to balk and object to this message getting out there. They don't want people to know about this moral law. And then all of a sudden we cry out, God, where were you? And politicians say, get rid of your thoughts and prayers. Well, how badly this world needs the Lord. Absent from so much of the media is also what took place in Chicago this weekend, a place where extensive gun control takes place. But it was reported over the weekend, 51 people shot in Chicago. 7 of the victims died. Well, we're going to be going much more in depth on this issue on tomorrow's Crosstalk with a special guest dealing with this matter as information continues to unfold. I'll say this, though, that the media is parroting just so many words from those running for the executive office against President Trump. They're blaming him for the shootings in El Paso, blaming the political right, when in fact, when you look at the El Paso manifesto, you find that the shooter was racist, a socialist, a hater of capitalism, and the media has been moot on the point. In Dayton, Ohio, Western Journalism points out that the shooter in Dayton had a social media history that was heavy on leftist politics, a pro-Satan outlook. So while investigations to continue unfold, we're going to be going much further in depth on this on tomorrow's Crosstalk program. Today, though, we have another critical issue as we welcome Martin Moyer, who is a founder of the Christian Action Network. They're a nonprofit organization created to protect America's religious and moral heritage through the education and political activism efforts, both on the national and grassroots levels. He's the author of several books, including Twilight in America, The Untold Story of Islamic Terrorist Training Camps Inside America. Martin, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
And just before we get into our topic today that we've invited you on, that you've well researched, give us your observation of the shootings this past weekend, El Paso, Dayton, and yes, even Chicago.
Yeah, you know, this is all very, very tragic news, and it's very distressing to read. And you know what upsets me the most is trying to read people's solutions as to how to deal with this problem and the cries for getting rid of whatever assault weapons, whatever that means, because no one can really define what an assault weapon is. The idea that we need better mental health care and we need to throw more money at that, when I think almost all of us realize that it's our fleeing from God and His teachings is what's causing this rampant craziness of the world that we're having to live in and read about every day. And no one wants to offer that solution. I understand that. That's not politically correct. Mm-hmm. They're berated if they say such a thing. But that ignorance alone is what's going to cause more and more of these shootings to take place. We once did a study to find out how many school shootings have there been since they kicked God out of the public schools in the 60s. And it's basically, you find maybe 2 or 3 incidents of a very small number of public school shootings prior to that. Now it's up to just like 350-some children have died as a result of public school shootings since they kicked God out. Now, people are going to say that's not a good, you know, scientific analysis as to why it's happening. But, you know, they can say that, but I think it's obvious to us that kicking God out of our public life, out of our public personal experiences, is going to cause people to decide for themselves how they react to situations, and they don't believe there's a God watching them, and they think they themselves have to solve it, not reaching out in prayer, not reaching out to Jesus, not reaching out to a being higher than them. And they look and they see a gun and they're going to try to solve the problem themselves.
Yes, and indeed what we see is man doing that which is right in his own eyes, and we see where that leads us. And folks, again, we're going to be turning our topic here today, but we will go much more in depth on this tomorrow as the matters continue to unfold. And sometimes there's conflicting information that happens right away. We'll be delving more into that, but indeed how bad this world needs Jesus. And even the topic today, Martin, is not so far disconnected because you have really researched on another matter that's pertaining to public safety, and it's regarding the issuance of Muslim community patrol cars in New York. Tell us what's happening.
Now, a lot of people don't remember back last November because it didn't make much news at that time that a couple of police-looking cars were seen in the city of New York, in particular the Brooklyn and Staten Island areas, but at closer inspection, they were not police cars. They were Muslim community patrol cars. And it made a bit of a stink on social media. But then as the mainstream media started to look more closely at it, they started to inquire as to what these cars were about. And at first, the vice president of Muslim Community Patrol and Services, which I will now refer to as MCPNS, because that's a mouthful, said that the cars were there to have officers that could speak the lingo between Muslims and the NYPD, because a lot of Muslim immigrants were fearful of the NYPD, did not know how to talk to them, and basically they were going to serve as an interpretation business to communicate the concerns of foreign Muslims with the NYPD. Now, after the Christchurch attack in New Zealand earlier this year, which resulted in some 50 Muslims being slaughtered, the MCPNS decided that they were going to change their strategy and become a security force for the various mosques in New York City and the Muslims in New York City to protect them from Islamophobia. So they've gone from being merely a translator, if you will, between Muslims and NYPD to now a full-fledged security force. After that, they decided they would purchase another car. So now they have three cars. They hope to have seven cars by the end of this summer. And their ultimate goal is to have 30 of these patrol cars running around New York City in the near future.
So what is the similarity between their cars and the NYPD cars, the similarity between the insignia they wear compared to what we would see from the New York police officers?
Yeah, and that's why we put all of that information on the back of our report in the color photos. And for people to get that report, just go to our website at ChristianAction.org. You'll see a section called Special Reports. Download it there. But you're going to see that both the NYPD cars and the MCP cars are both Ford Tauruses. They're white. They have the same decals on them. They have the same lettering structure on them. They look identical to an NYPD car. The officers wear police-looking uniforms. If you look at their patch, and this is very interesting because the patches worn between the MCP officers and the NYPD officers are basically identical. The only thing different is one says NYPD, the other says Muslim Community Patrol. But the whole strategy here is to confuse citizens and visitors in New York City as to whether they are an official branch of the NYPD, and that's exactly what they want to achieve. That's why in one of the photos they took, they have a picture of the MCP car outside of the 72nd precinct in New York City with one of their officers standing next to the car. And they took that picture in front of the police station for the very purpose of confusing people to think that they are a division of the NYPD. That's the only reason why that photo was taken. So that is their one of the, they have many goals, but that's one of their goals is to camouflage themselves to your average citizen as to when they give you an order, are you listening to an order from a safety patrol man, or are you listening to an order from a division of the NYPD? And most people, if they're not familiar with this subject, are going to think that this is an official law enforcement officer telling you what you can and cannot do.
Folks, it's the same color scheme that's on the vehicles. The patches, as Martin explained, are identical. They got the same logo on them. I noticed on the Muslim patch, though, that they have Arabic written.
Yeah, and I think it means Allah is peace or something of that nature. Basically, it's not Arabic. I had searched that out, and we used our undercover informants to search it out because they said it's not Arabic. They finally came back, and it means God is peace or something of that nature.
Well, we know that Allah is not about peace. I mean, all we have to do is open the Quran, and we see the many violent verses there. I mean, kill the infidel is not a foreign verse to the Quran.
Right.
We know what it's all about in that regard. So you said these cars first surfaced this past November?
Yes, they surfaced in Brooklyn and in Staten Island this past November, and they're calling it a testing ground. The testing ground, there's been a lot of interpretation even internally as to what they mean by that, but at least we know it means they want to see what kind of problems they're going to run into, not only with the local authorities, not only with the NYPD of having cars that look just like theirs, but also within the Muslim community and how they're going to be received among their own fellow religious friends. So they have started off with the two cars, now they have three, and they are running into problems. They're running into a lot of issues in New York City with these cars, and not just with the NYPD, but with the Muslim community itself.
So we're going to see these cars, if this is testing then, and they succeed in their testing, we would likely see these in Minneapolis, St. Paul, would likely see these in Detroit, likely see these in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and other places as well.
Yeah, I'd like to talk a lot more about that after the break because that's an interesting subject to talk about. To have a force of 30 police cars is something a lot of towns and cities across the United States would like to have.
Right.
So they're not putting 30 police cars on police-looking cars on the streets just so they can protect mosques from violence. I don't know that there's been a single case cited in New York City that a mosque has been shot at or firebombed or in any way assaulted by an Islamophobiac to create a need for 30 patrol cars to be running around the city of New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Moyer is with us today. He's founder of the Christian Action Network, and I'd encourage you to go to their site, ChristianAction.org, ChristianAction.org, and see the report. It's called The Secret Agenda of New York City's Muslim Patrol Cars, and you judge for yourself. When you look at the back page of the report, you look at that in color, and you look at the lookalikes between the Muslim patrol cars and that of the New York Police Department. It's amazing when you look at the patches that they wear. It's amazing to see the similarities are there. Is that a cause for confusion? Absolutely. Back to discuss it further. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has it finally happened? Can computers outthink humans?
No, they can't, Chris. Now, they can outperform humans on some difficult tasks, but they're not really thinking. For instance, calculators can do mathematical manipulations much more quickly and accurately than humans. But keep in mind, they were designed by humans and programmed to do these various tasks. They're not thinking, they're just doing the things they were designed to do. No, Chris, machines can't actually think, nor do they exercise real judgment. This is reserved for mankind, created in the image of God, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Music.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Martin Moyer with us, founder of the Christian Action Network, and we're talking about, it's quite a stemwinder of a report here, dealing with this issue of Muslim patrol cars, the secret agenda of New York City's Muslim patrol cars, referring to them as MCPNS. These are cars that are, you mentioned, Martin, that up to 30 of them are planned for New York. This is no small change. Who was funding this?
Well, we're told that it's coming from outside of the United States, but we don't know exactly where. And hopefully, eventually, we'll find out what country is funding these cars. But, you know, I think it makes sense. Our contacts inside of this organization are not that huge in this organization yet to know the fine details of the money flow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of funding 30 cars, these cars are quite expensive just to buy one. They come equipped with sirens. They come equipped with lights, not lights on top of the hood, but they do have lights in the dashboard to make it look like it's a police car when they turn on the flashing lights and sirens. You have to upkeep these cars. You have to buy insurance for these cars. You got to put fuel in these cars. You got to have equipment for the officers, their uniforms, their two-way radio systems. So that's a lot of money, and it makes sense that the money would be foreign coming into this country. Now, if it is foreign money coming into this country, I think we might know better what they mean by this as a test, because perhaps New York City is just where they're going to start, work out all the details, what problems are they going to have. It's a friendly city for them. Then eventually start populating other major cities with these cars. I don't think this is a short-term New York City plan and goal at all. I think it is a plan and a goal and an effort to put these cars in cities across the United States.
Why should that alarm us?
Well, I think we should be quite alarmed, right? Because, you know, we first came across this type of Sharia patrol when we were doing our film called Europe's Last Stand, America's Final Warning, in which we went to Europe over a period of 3 years, and we traveled through a dozen countries over there, documenting the Islamic encroachment of Islam in Europe. And we ran across Sharia patrol units over there. And they were not as sophisticated, not as equipped. They didn't have their own cars or their own uniforms, but they were Sharia patrols. And they would stand outside a mosque, and if someone came through or passed the mosque, Muslim or non-Muslim, if they were holding hands, if they were kissing, or if they showed any type of public affection, they would tell them to stop. They would actually threaten them violently if they didn't stop. They would stop people from smoking, from drinking beer. They would go to establishments and demand that they stop selling alcohol. They were a very radical bunch over there. And to try to have that in the United States, where you know, we have liberty, we have freedom here, and if something is allowed in the law, we honor what the law allows people to do. And we don't need police-looking officers trying to intimidate and force people into thinking that somehow the Sharia is now the law of the land, mm-hmm. and that you have to also abide by Muslim law as well as American law.
Now, I think this is important to point out, Martin, because this is something you uncover in your report on this very aspect, and that is, with these Muslim patrol cars, their goal is to enforce Sharia. Their goal is to enforce Islamic law. We can't escape what their true goal is here.
Yeah, so we had one of our informants apply for a job at the MCPNS offices, and he spoke to the Deputy Director of Operations, Mawish Fatma, about getting employment, and he asked her specifically, does Sharia law plan on being enforced? And her answer was, well, of course, we're going to enforce it on the Muslims first and then on the non-Muslims, but we will also be enforcing the law of the land, meaning American law. And she did make a point that to enforce just the Sharia without also enforcing American law would seem hypocritical, so they plan on doing both. But that's their goal. Now, that goal is further confirmed by its puppeteer, Imam Siraj Wahaj, who's another interesting story because he is known as America's Imam. throughout the entire world. He's a very powerful imam in New York City. He has a lot of links to terrorists. That's well established. It's easily to document that. And he has made it a point that he will only continue his efforts with these MCP and SCARs if the ultimate goal is to enforce Sharia law in the city. So that it's not a goal of speaking the lingo between foreign Muslims and the NYPD. It's not the effort of securing the mosque from some fake bomb attack or Muslims from some fake Islamophobic attack. The goal is to enforce Sharia on Muslims first and then non-Muslims later.
So the Siraj Wahaj, he is the one that's overseeing this Muslim community patrol?
Yeah, he oversees the deployment of the cars and the officers. So he is the person that strategically places where he wants the cars to be in New York City. A lot of your listeners, this is probably the first time they've heard of his name, Siraj Wahaj. I'm going to repeat it because you need to remember it. And even though it might be the first time they heard of his name, they probably are familiar with the terrorist camp that was raided last year, last August, in New Mexico, in which several Muslims were arrested, holding 11 children who were famished and poorly fed and clothed in that area, and it turned out to be a terrorist training camp. Well, the man and the two girls were the son and two daughters of Siraj Wahaj. So if Siraj Wahaj in New York City is deploying these cars and his own kids are running an established terrorist camp in New Mexico, then you could probably guess that this is not a good guy and he has evil intentions for the United States.
Yeah, he's not really known for his love for the United States, is he?
No, he has predicted that one day the United States will crumble and it will be replaced by Islam. He has called America a terrorist country, and he predicts that one day also democracy in America will fail and will be replaced by a caliphate.
Martin Moyer with us today. Folks, you've got to read this report, ChristianAction.org, ChristianAction.org. You'll find it prominent there on their site. Martin, you also point out in your article that one who is in charge of recruitment is one who's been twice arrested himself.
Yeah, Ali Mustafa. He was originally arrested in 1970 for kidnapping, burglary, and murder, and he was sentenced to life in jail. Life in jail, Jim, but he only served 15 years. So he gets out in 15 years and goes to work with Imam Siraj Wahaj, which your listeners now know that name, as a security patrol officer for him back in the early 1990s, because at one point Siraj Wahaj had a security patrol of Muslims back in Brooklyn during that period. Well, while he was a security patrol officer, he allegedly shot and killed a man for refusing to obey one of his orders. It was witnessed by two other individuals. One of those individuals was shot, and he fled to Baltimore and was too fearful to testify after that. The other witness, his name is Oscar Brown, he stood his ground. Even though he had been shot at, and even though he had been beat up several times in a six-month period, he remained determined to testify that Ali Mustafa shot and killed this individual. Well, one night, Oscar Brown was kidnapped, and the next morning, his body was found on a Brooklyn sidewalk with 16 gunshot wounds where he lay dead. So now with the two witnesses, one dead, the other refusing to testify, the New York prosecutor had no choice but to drop the second murder charge against Ali Mustafa. And Ali Mustafa is now the one who's in charge of not only hiring these MCP officers, but training them in self-defense techniques.
Okay, so let's talk about that training. I mean, are they, what kind of training do they have? Are they subject to FBI background checks? Are they fingerprinted? What do we know about this?
Well, even though MCPNS claims to be a security firm, they are not licensed to be a security firm, and New York City authorities should shut them down on that alone. But I think you and I both know that's not going to happen. But they are not licensed. Ali Mustafa every weekend takes recruits into the basement of the Masjid Taqwa in Brooklyn to train these individuals on how what he phrases as self-defense techniques. We're not privy to what exactly type of self-defense techniques they're training these people to do. But what I find also interesting is that the MCPNS officers are also being trained by New York City's 72nd Precinct in self-restraint techniques of suspects and also self-defense techniques. So now you have taxpayer-funded individuals training a religious police force in America that whose plan is to enforce Sharia law.
My.
And you want to know what? You haven't heard a thing from the ACLU about it at all.
What response is coming from NYPD?
Well, varied. You know, at first, they put a distance. They made it clear that these people, even though they look like us, they're not a part of us. But after the Christchurch attack in New Zealand, even their tone changed to being mildly accepting of the MCP cars, saying that they will probably help make New York City a safer place to be.
There seems to be a conflict here, Martin. I mean, when you talk about the impersonation of an officer, when you look at their vehicle, you look at the patch, you look at what their goal are and what they're doing, it seems like this would fit that criteria of impersonation.
Well, you know, if you're in a car and behind you is something that looks like a police car because it has sirens on it and it has lights in the dashboards that are flashing and a guy gets out, he has a badge and he has a uniform, he has the exact same looking patch as an NYPD officer, I mean, how much more impersonation do you expect anybody to get?
These Muslim community patrols, they're wanting arrest powers, aren't they?
Yes, and they want to be able to arrest people. Right now, they're told by the NYPD they can make a citizen's arrest, but they're not happy with that because a citizen's arrest really means you call the police if you see someone doing something wrong, and you just try to do your best to keep them at the scene without using physical restraint. So that's kind of a difficult thing to do. So they want the actual ability to arrest people. So what they're trying to do right now is to hire off-duty Muslim NYPD officers to patrol in those cars, because not only do those off-duty Muslim patrol officers have the power to arrest people, but they also have the ability to carry guns. So now if you stopped, say you're just a visitor in New York City and you have one of these cars pull up next to you and someone gets out of it and look exactly like a policeman, they have handcuffs and they have a weapon on them and they tell you to abide by a Sharia compliant whatever, are you going to dismiss it? Are you just going to ignore it? Are you going to laugh in their face? Probably not. And that's the type of intimidation they are looking for.
Martin Moyer is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and we're going to open our lines here to give you opportunity to ask questions of our guest. Give us your reaction to the what's called the secret agenda, New York City's Muslim patrol cars. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. You can look at the report for yourself at christianaction.org, christianaction.org. We'll be back in just 1 minute, taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
The one book that's been credited as one of the major catalysts for the modern creationist movement is The Genesis Flood, authored by Dr. John Whitcomb and Dr. Henry Morris. While skeptics today cast doubt upon the authenticity of a universal flood and its geological impact during the time of Noah, we are modern-day witnesses of the massive devastating force of tsunamis, hurricanes, and floods, and the great geological changes taking place from a single storm. The Genesis Flood is a 500-page resource which places before the reader in clear fashion the theological and scientific basis for literal acceptance of the biblical account. Replete with empirical data, this book provides illustrations, charts, and diagrams along with sound documentation that harmonizes science with biblical truth. The Genesis Flood is available for a donation of $20 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Martin Moyer is our guest. Folks, you've got to be informed. You've got to know what's going on. You say, oh, that's New York City. Folks, the plan is to get these in precincts across this nation here. And we see what's taking place, the domination that is going on. And now we have a patrol vehicle, the first making its debut late of 2018. But the number of vehicles now increasing. The goal is for 30 vehicles in New York City. Goals are to take these into precincts across this nation to enforce Sharia. Folks, we have something in the United States called a constitution. And guess what? The U.S. Constitution and Sharia are not compatible with one another. Martin Moyer is here exposing this today. And you're invited to call in. Our number 800-733-9829. But by all means, download the report. Take a look at it at ChristianAction.org. ChristianAction.org. There is more than what we've been able to get out through the course of this interview, but this is something for you to download, take the link, share it with other people, make them aware of what's taking place as well. Let's begin with Monroe, Wisconsin. We have Mark calling in. Mark, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm trying to connect the dots here on my side, but my $64,000 question here is, how does New York Mayor William de Blasio, also a Democratic presidential candidate, fit in this whole scenario, especially with the recent water dousing incidents with the current New York Police Department?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I'm trying to reach here for is he in cahoots and even possibly putting some kind of a global front with his presidential candidacy to kind of deflect attention from a possible Sharia infiltration?
Mark, thank you for the call. Go ahead. Martin?
I don't think Blasio is smart enough to thought all that through. The listener is, though, and perhaps if Blasio gave as much thought to it as the listener, he may be in agreement with that strategy. The only public individual who's made a significant comment about this is the president of the Brooklyn Bureau, Eric Adams. But, you know, that's no small figure in New York City. He's a very powerful figure in Brooklyn. And he has welcomed these cars in Brooklyn and has even said that he plans on helping to raise tax dollars to buy more cars and more equipment for these cars. And I was just kind of shocked when he made that statement because, you know, for a public figure, if a public figure came out and said they were going to raise tax dollars to help put Christian patrol cars on any major city street to enforce the Ten Commandments, you would certainly hear a lot. I mean, this thing would not be small news anymore. It'd be covered on CNN and Fox and everywhere else about the idea of using tax dollars to enforce the Ten Commandments by a Christian group. But I think it's outrageous that there's even a suggestion or an idea or a plan to raise tax dollars to put more of these Muslim community patrol cars on the city streets of New York.
Wow. Let's go next to Richard calling in from Grand Junction, Colorado. Richard, you're on the air.
Thank you. I saw some comments just a couple days ago from Rashida Tlaib in which she made very plain and overt reference to the fact of the plan to Islamicize America. She minced no words about it. She was very clear, straightforward, and plain in her statement of the Islamization of this country being the goal. It's right in our faces. I mean, they're not making any bones about what they're attempting to do.
Martin?
I have not seen those comments, and if you go to our website, if you could find out where those comments were made, I would certainly more than be eager to read them. You can find our email address at the bottom of the website and just forward it to me. I would love to see those comments.
I'll be happy to do that. Yeah, it was just in the last couple of days, and, I mean, she was as plain as a freight train about it. So appreciate what you're doing. Lord bless.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Kevin is our next caller. Kevin, you're on the air.
Hey, I want to thank you both for this because it kind of reminds me of something I went through back in between 1989 and 2001 when the incident happened in New York because I drove truck out there hauling meat out there for years. You had a situation out there that went on where they were intercepting calls. There was people out there intercepting calls that went in for accidents. And by the time the police that showed up there that weren't the police, the cars had already been hijacked with false reports, and then the guys were sitting along the side of the road when the police showed up. You know, they start mixing that together with that, you're going to have some trouble out there, because what it was it was a carjacking that took place right out on the Long Island Expressway. What was going on was they were scanning the calls. They were coming in. So my advice to people out there is make sure you got an actual dispatch on your cell phone, because we didn't have cell phones back then. You understand what I'm explaining what's going on there?
Martin, I guess the confusion here again as to the whole aspect of the impersonation, and you got others that are acting as if they are officers or acting as if they are responding to something.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We didn't have a chance to talk about it earlier, but this group is struggling with how to enforce the Sharia on Muslims in the city of New York. And they've come up with a strategy, which I think is quite frightful, and that is they're not going to call the police. If they see you doing something wrong and they tell you to stop doing it, whether it be the American law, such as smoking pot, or something in Sharia, which is the open display of alcoholic beverage on a sidewalk, they're going to take matters into their own hand, and they are going to force you to abide by whatever Sharia they're telling you you have to abide by. If you resist, then they will take matters in their own hand. And if it means assaulting that individual, they will assault you. And if you get hurt, they will call the police after that and then tell the police that you attacked them or you tripped, you fell over running away from them, and that's how you got your injuries. They're also being told that if it gets out of hand, do not call the NYPD, and instead call Ali Mustafa, who is in charge of also seeing where these officers are, and he will bring out his security force to handle the situation before the NYPD gets there. Again, now this all fits into their scheme of intimidation, which is why they look like NYPD officers. Their goal isn't to go out there and enforce Sharia law with the aid of the NYPD. That's not what their goal is, or to enforce American law with the aid of the NYPD. Their goal is to go out there and make you abide by American law, their version of it, or the Sharia, and if you don't, take matters in their own hand and only call the NYPD after they solve that problem.
Wow, wow. Thank you, Kevin. Our number here, 800-733-9829. I have a couple open lines, 800-733-9829. John is next. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm seeing a little bit of irony here because, as you know, much of the laws we have in our land already are in gross conflict with the Declaration of Independence, where we're supposed to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So if you already have the precedence of law violating the Declaration of Independence, it's just a small step for Sharia law to roughshod over the Declaration of Independence as well. You have to get rid of law entirely and replace it with self-governance by principle. That's what the Declaration of Independence called. Otherwise, it's just going to go in circles.
You know, this is why they want to say they're enforcing Sharia and American law, because they want their Sharia to become American law.
Mm.
And once it becomes American law, guess what? They're not enforcing Sharia anymore. They're just enforcing American law. So, yeah, they're brilliant in their strategy. I have to hand it to them. They have
one second, John. Go ahead, Martin.
They had thought about this. And if Christians would take the time to be as strategizing and brilliant in our strategy, we could take back some of the things that we are constantly losing, especially over the last four decades.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead.
Isn't there that a violation of RICO?
RICO?
Yeah, isn't this whole Sharia law thing a violation? They're racketeering. It's racketeering.
Yeah, and to to get police departments ever to file and do a RICO, it's almost impossible because it requires so much time, effort, not just the police officers, but accountants and lawyers and whatever, that I don't think they'll ever do it. Would they succeed? I think there are many cases of this type that they would succeed at, but they're not going to devote the resources to do it.
John, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Again, our number here, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Martin, there was a multi-mosque conference February 15th. What can you tell us about it?
What happened here was that a MCPS officer went into the Brooklyn and Crown Heights area, saw four young African-Americans on a sidewalk outside of a mosque smoking pot. And he went up to them and told them that they're not allowed to smoke pot. It's against the law to get rid of it and to leave the area of the mosque. Well, a ruckus broke out between those four individuals and the MCPNS officer. They called the MCPNS officer a phony cop. They threatened to shoot him if he ever came back again. And it brought out the attention of the imam of the mosque, who wanted to settle this dispute. And when he learned what was going on, he decided, well, I'm not sure we want these MCPNS cars in this particular area. This is a very dangerous area of a lot of drug lords and drug dealers. So he called for a multi-mosque meeting in the Crown Heights area, which involved the mosque that's basically behind these cars, the Masjid Taqwa. Well, when that meeting took place, that's when it was revealed that Siraj Wahaj was the puppeteer behind these mosques. And they told Imam Siraj that they did not want his cars patrolling the mosque in the Crown Heights areas because it could cause a war between the mosque and the drug dealers if they're enforcing Sharia law in that area. Imam Siraj basically stood his ground for a while in that meeting and then eventually relented and said he'll move his cars away from those mosques and put them into the Bay Ridge area of Brooklyn. But what this did disclose to us is that there are going to be lots of Muslims and mosques in New York City that are going to be opposed equally to these cars running around telling people how to live their lives in a country that a lot of Muslims fled to get away from Sharia compliancy in their own countries. But, you know, and that's just not one problem, or it is just one problem among many among Muslims in New York City, because you also have the Shiites who do not like the Sunnis, and these MCP and S cars are Sunni-controlled. And the Shiites are complaining that, look, there's a different view of Sharia in the Shiite religion as opposed to the Sunni religion. And we're not going to support these cars because you guys are going to be enforcing your Sunni version of the Sharia, and we're not going to have any of that. So there's a tiff going on between the mosque and the Muslim leaders in New York City themselves over these cars.
Martin Moyer, our guest. We're going to take a quick break and come back to more of your calls, your comments on the issue, the topic here of the Muslim patrol cars. Just a prototype, just a plan, just a test. And folks coming to a city near you, are you aware of what's taking place? We'll be back in a minute. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. America has been struck again by a tragedy, multiple tragedies. The shooting in Ohio as well as in Texas, leaving now 30 people dead, not counting all those injured. Well, the media is quick to want to blame it on Christians and nationalists and racists. That's what they say some of these shooters are. Well, the reality is that's not true. The reported manifesto from the shooter in El Paso, Texas, reveals he is not a Christian, he is not a conservative, he is not a constitutionalist. But the media doesn't want to read, apparently, from his manifesto in which he calls for universal basic income. That's socialism. He is a racist. He calls for breaking up the country so that there is not the mixing of races. This is nothing less than really eugenics promoted by Adolf Hitler. He promotes radical environmentalism, sustainable development, and population control. Many of these ideologies are that you would find in Nazism, not the conservative Christians of America.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Martin Moyer is our guest today. You can check out the report, ChristianAction.org. ChristianAction.org. Folks, don't let the day go by without downloading it or write down that website. You can go to it and download the report, The Secret Agenda of New York City's Muslim Patrol Cars. You'll do yourself a lot of good to certainly look at the report, and you can copy it off, print it off. It's not that many pages, and then share it with others as well. Send the link to others. I think all in all, it's about 16 pages. And when you print it off in color in particular, you will see just even the similarities between vehicles of Muslim patrol cars and how they look like New York Police Department vehicles. You'll look at the patches and see the similarities between the Muslim patrol patch and the official police patch, even with the photograph there of the Muslim security or patrol officer or individual, I should say, standing in front of the precinct of the police department, making it look like they're one in the same. Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, our number is 800-733-9829. Micah is calling in from Monterey, Tennessee. You're on the air, Micah.
Yes, I was just calling. Just thanks for your program. And I just got a question for your guest and also a comment. I'm just wondering, is the Muslim Patrol, are they initiating traffic stops or mostly just dealing with pedestrians? And then my comment is that I know of a military policeman that was arrested and charged with impersonating a police officer because he was basically stopping speeders, people speeding, not on the motorbike. Mm-hmm. He was impersonating an officer. So I'll just hang up and take the answer.
Thank you, Mike. What about this? Are they initiating traffic stops, Martin?
No, I don't think they're initiating traffic stops. They are patrolling bad behavior that they see on the streets. I don't think they really want to get into the traffic stop business as of yet. They will arrive at traffic incidences, and there's a reason why they do that. If a NYPD car will pull somebody over, they will also pull over as well. They'll get a picture of them, of their car next to the NYPD car, and they'll post something up about how they helped the NYPD and whatever thing that NYPD officer was doing. But again, that is just to confuse people and make people think that they are part of the NYPD when you see their car on an active street scene with a NYPD car and whatever accident or service that NYPD officer was trying to do at the time. Again, it's brilliant. It makes people think that wow, they really are helping out the NYPD. These must be good guys, and NYPD must be calling them for assistance. Otherwise, why would their car be next to theirs in this incident? So it's very alarming to me. And this is going to be a gradual thing. It's not going to be as if, okay, overnight they're going to go out there and start bully clubbing people and to abide by Sharia law. Right now it's a public relations campaign to go out there and first gain the appreciation of the NYPD and city council members and mayors and state governor and state legislators about these cars.
Keep in mind, folks, the frog is in the kettle. The frog is in the kettle. The temperature is increasing. Martin, how is it that the public can get engaged with this matter?
Well, you know, the thing that's really important to us, and I know it might not seem why it's so important to your listeners out there, but if you will just go to our website, if you have a Facebook page, and hit the share button. We have distributed this report to every member of the state legislature, the governor, the mayor. We've sent it to every NYPD precinct, all 70 of them, or probably 60 of them. We've given it to every council member. This is a very expensive for us to print and produce and mail out. But if people will hit the share button, it will save us a ton of costs of mailing these things out, and it will have the same effect because it's coming from a friend. If I send it out, they're like, well, who's Martin Moyer? Who's Christian Action Network? But if you send it out, they're going to say, oh, a good friend sent me this report. It must be important. So it helps us get the word out, and there's so many people that travel to New York City. You're going to be doing them a favor by letting them know what these cars are all about before they get to the Big Apple and run into them, thinking that they're actually NYPD branched cars.
ChristianAction.org is the website to do that, ChristianAction.org. Martin, no doubt you've been told you're an Islamophobe. What you're doing here is Islamophobic. How do you respond?
Well, you know, I think we've been called so many names over the years. It kind of, like, wears off of you after a while. And maybe you wear it as a badge of honor, like being one of Donald Trump's deplorables or whatever. I just ignore it. I think most people now are getting to the point where they're being called a racist, a Nazi, you know, all these horrible names for so long now that they are no longer carrying the same impact or meaning, and people just brush it off. There's such a thing as just overusing a negative term where all of a sudden, you know, it just has no effect at all anymore because what did Donald Trump say last week? Well, everybody's a racist now, and he's kind of right, you know, because it's just thrown out there all the time. The impact of the word just has no meaning anymore. And I think it's the same thing about calling us homophobes or Islamophobes or whatever else they want to call us.
Folks, again, keep in mind this started out with a single vehicle, expanded the second the third came. The goal is for some 30 vehicles just in New York City. It's a test program, and this will only get into additional cities across the nation as well. So the eyes of those who are seeking to perpetrate this are looking how they can perpetuate this, not only in New York City and to see it strengthened there, but then to take it to other communities across this nation as well. So we'd encourage you to look at the report, download it, share it with others, and make individuals known. It's called The Secret Agenda of New York City's Muslim Patrol Cars. You can go to ChristianAction.org. Martin, we've got 30 seconds. What would you like to leave with the listeners?
Well, I think one of the things that they'll see in the report, if they read it, is how these security patrols operated in the 90s. And you can expect that sooner or later, these security patrols that now have police uniforms and cars are going to be operating the same way. But read how they operated in the 90s under the same man, Imam Siraj Wahaj, in which bullets were flying around Brooklyn, and his effort to control that city in the name of Sharia.
Wow.
You predict what's going to happen in New York City in the future.
Martin, thank you so much for being with us here today.
It was my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
And stay on the line if you would. Martin Moyer, our guest. The website again, ChristianAction.org. Tomorrow on the program, Lord willing, we'll get further into the mass shootings and some of the issues that are going on, the solutions to it that we're being told today, and who's at fault. We'll be back with more Crosstalk tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.